What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Becker on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5, the game on this Wednesday afternoon. Don't forget, you've got about 7.5 hours to continue to vote. We're going to get the left side of the bracket. Four more athletes will advance in our Nashville's best sports bracket, the best Nashville athletes of the last 30 years. In the Tim Corbin region, the number one seed is David Price, and currently he's going up against the four seed Frank Wycheck to try to advance to our Elite Eight. Currently, Chase, where does that stand before we get to our next guest?
Right now, David needs to rally the troops a little bit to get some help, because he is trailing. He's cut into the lead a little bit, but it's 56-44 right now with Frank Wycheck in the lead.
Okay, 7.5 hours to go. David Price is on the line with us. David Price, 24. On Twitter, you've heard, David, you're going to need to get the call. All of your fans need to get you to vote. Get them to vote for you and get you in the Elite Eight in our bracket.
I think Mr. Wycheck kind of got stiffed on the rankings. He's he's a pretty big icon, you know, in Middle Tennessee. You know, I remember where I was when Music City Miracle happened and his part in that and how special that was. Of a time in my life, you know, it was one of those moments that I will definitely never forget. So if I lose to somebody, you know, Frank Wycheck's a good somebody to lose to.
Well said. All right. Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher David Price on the line with us. Is it weird to hear that? It's weird to say it.
I think the weirdness has kind of worn off a little bit.
Okay.
You know, it's just, for me, everything's kind of come full circle. You know, the Dodgers are the team that drafted. Kind of came full circle with him. You know, the first GM that drafted me out of college was Andrew Friedman. You know, he is the GM with the Dodgers. So just a lot of pieces falling back together. It's pretty neat to see that.
So how are you and your family dealing with the pandemic that we're going through? How has this been at home? This is obviously unusual for all of us.
Yeah, it's been unusual. You know, my son doesn't he doesn't understand why we can't go to the park and stuff like that, and just why we have to stay at home. But you know, we've been handling it, I feel like, as best as we could. Everybody trying to stay active and going outside and just doing as much as we can outside and trying to social distance as well. But it's definitely been different. But you know, I think if everybody continues to do their part and social distance, we will get through this.
Yeah, well said. Your sport is a little bit unique, as you know, you have the ability. I think baseball and basketball to, you know, you a lot of people have a setup at home where you can do things with your sport. Hockey players, they don't have a rink in their backyard, and so the playing surface prevents them from doing. So, as a pitcher, as a Major League Baseball player, what can you do at home to I guess get you ready when it's time to go moving forward?
I mean, body weight workout stuff. I mean, if you have a gym, that's obviously that works too. If you have a net, you know, like a net you can hit golf balls into, you can throw into that. There's a lot of different ways you can kind of get your work in. Obviously, it's not going to be the same. You know, you can't compare the intensity of facing somebody wearing a different jersey and stuff of that nature. So, you're just trying to deal with this the best you can. You know, there's sock throws, putting a sanitary sock over your arm and putting a baseball there at the end and just playing catch into that sock. You know, that's something I've done whenever I've been coming back from injuries or been on vacation and hadn't had anybody to throw with. You know, it's all stuff that I've done before. So just trying to stick with that program as best as possible and stay ready for whenever they tell us to come back.
David Price is with us. We're talking baseball with him. And, of course, he is one of the top Nashville athletes of the last 30 years. And, David, we've had some great conversations with some of your peers that you went to school with at Vanderbilt, or maybe some guys that came along a little bit before you, a little bit after you, and also a lot of these Titans and Predators we're talking about as well. But so let's go down memory lane a little bit. I remember reading a story about you as a kid, and I'm sure we've all been a little reflective here, but it involves you at your house by yourself picking up a ball and hitting it over the top of your house and then going to the other side of the house, the backyard, hitting it back over to the front yard or something like that. Do you remember that story? Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's a story my mom would always tell about me whenever I was two and a half, 3 years old, just going outside with a little wiffle ball and a plastic bat and hitting the ball over the house. And I know my son can't do that, but I have an ex-teammate in Brock Holt and his three-year-old little boy. He absolutely drops bombs, and it's fun to watch. He posts a lot of videos of it, and I've seen it in person. So now that I've seen a two-and-a-half, three-year-old do that, I can kind of believe my mom's story a little bit more now, but that's a story that she continues to tell, and hitting was always something I really enjoyed doing.
So as you grew up, those formative years, it's funny when we're talking about these backyard games, I feel like a lot of us are trying to come up with creative games like this that you can do under the circumstances. We're playing a lot of wall ball at the end of the street off a brick wall, the back of a grocery store for my son and I, just throwing it up there. But when you decided to – what was the key to your development when you're that age? Let's say, you know, those little league ages, 8, 9, 10. Who were the key influences on you? Who kept you on the right path, and who got you really interested in baseball?
I have to say my parents got me into baseball. You know, I was the only one in my family that played it. You know, we always watched the Atlanta Braves play. You know, that was something we did every single night. You know, we watched the Braves play and ate dinner. It was just part of our routine, and I fell in love with the Braves. Obviously, their dominance over the 90s and early 2000s was, you know, something that I was a fan of, and I think, you know, watching all the great players that they had, you know, my favorite player was David Justice, but being able to watch, you know, John Smoltz and Greg Maddux and Tom Glavine and all those guys go out there and pitch, you know, that helped me as well.
This is another well-told story from the past that I know you've told many times, but I think it was in an article. I believe Lee Jenkins wrote it. It had to do with your first fall semester at Vanderbilt, where you were kind of at a crossroads. You hadn't done great on a really good program that was building at the time, and you really had to sort of redirect it, and you had some heart-to-heart talks with Tim Corbin, but it involved, I guess, the word that everybody had stuck with them is you were saying – you were going to go work at McDonald's or something like that. Remind us of that story and take us back to that point, because obviously your life has gone in an amazing direction since then.
It was my first fall in college. You know, just in high school, I never had to take books home to study, and I made really good grades, you know, my entire life. And then going to Vanderbilt, that was a change for me, you know, having to prepare and study for classes and put in the time that way. And it was also very demanding on the baseball field. You know, that was I wasn't used to being surrounded by guys that were just as good, if not better than you. I was always the best player on the team growing up, and you know that had changed, you know, in a matter of just, you know, going to Vanderbilt. So all of that was very difficult, and it hit me, you know, really fast in that first semester. And where I walked in to the clubhouse one day at Vandy, and Coach Corbin had a list of all the pitchers, I think like 1 through 15, you know, had them ranked, and I was number 15. I was like, what in the world? And that was after my first fall ball. I remember, you know, calling Coach Corbin one night, and I was going to tell him that I was going to go work at McDonald's and just, you know, be a normal 18-year-old kid and you know, take that path. I didn't talk to him that night. I talked to him the next morning at the field, and he told me, you know, my future wasn't in flipping burgers at McDonald's. You know, my future was on the baseball field, and everything was going to get easier, and I was going to find my routine at Vanderbilt and on the baseball field. And, you know, everything Coach Corbin always told me was always true. You know, it always it always came out to be true. From the first time they came over to our house, you know, and talked to my parents and I, it was, you know, everything that they foresaw in, you know, in the future, you know, has happened. And Coach Corbin is a very special person to me. He is a father figure to me, and he knows how much he means to me and the program at Vanderbilt. It's something I'll always feel like I'm in debt to him and that program.
We're talking to David Price, left-hander for the L.A. Dodgers and, of course, Vanderbilt and Blackman High School. And I'll ask one about your high school career, David, because the first time I ever met you was at Blackman High School. I was doing a local high school sports show, and we came over to do a feature on you as a basketball player. It was interesting because as we were walking out of there, one of the coaches, and I can't remember who it was, but he said, "Oh, by the way, you ought to see this guy play baseball. He's a pretty good pitcher." I was like, "Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that." But being a multi-sport athlete, and Mookie Betts, your teammate, who has now moved over to the Dodgers with you, he was a great multi-sport star as well. I know Tim Corbin always values that with a lot of the players that he recruits. But talk about being open to playing more than one sport. I think it's such a big emphasis that needs to be shared with young players.
And that was going to be another part of my answer to your question before about the biggest influences on me as a kid. That was playing multiple sports. I was always playing something. You know, one season led into the other. You know, there was, you know, very little downtime, and I thought that was very valuable. You know, learning different roles on different teams, because you're not always going to be the type of player in every sport. You know, you might be really good at basketball, but not as good as, you know, in soccer or something like that, or baseball. And you,
did we lose David?
Uh-oh. Is David there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go. There.
Okay. Yeah, we lost you just for a second there. You're back.
Where'd you lose me at?
You were saying different roles on the different teams. Like soccer, you might be not playing the same role as you do in baseball.
Right. You might not be the same player, you know, in different sports. You might be really good at baseball and not as good as basketball. So you're going to learn different roles playing the different sports, you know, at a different level of athlete, I guess. So I think that's very valuable for life.
David, as you moved over to the National League and you got, you know, you guys were close to wrapping up spring training and the season was supposed to start. Obviously, you spent your entire career in the American League, and you, as a pitcher, you don't swing the bat so too much unless you're playing interleague. So what has that transition been like of getting used to being able to go up to the plate?
We work on bunting a lot more. You know, that's something that we would do every other day. We would have the bunting station right after the end of practice, and that was something I enjoyed doing. And like I said before, you know, hitting was always something I really enjoyed doing. You know, even while I was in the AL, we always looked forward to those interleague games. I looked forward to taking BP those weeks before, and now BP is going to be something that I do, you know, on a regular basis. You know, I think they said they hit 4 or 5 times a week. So it'll be different for me, you know, just being on the base pass and running the bases and preparing for the game that way. It's just AL baseball is the only type of baseball I know with the DH. So all I had to worry about was pitching. And now I have to worry about hitting and running the bases and preparing for stuff that way. So it'll be fun. I enjoy hitting. Look forward to hitting my first home run. And we can talk about that when that happens.
Oh, yeah. Are you a better hitter than Sonny Gray? That's the key question, too, now that he's in the NL.
Sonny hit a triple in Cincinnati down the right field line last year. That was pretty impressive. It showed his athleticism. It showed how fast he was. So that is it's a very small park, and there's not a lot of triples hit out there, especially by pitchers. So that was pretty impressive. Sonny can swing it.
Last thing, David. We haven't had a chance to catch up with you since – you obviously talked about your time at Vanderbilt and what Tim Corbin means to you, but what that second national championship meant for you last year. And, of course, unfortunately, this team does not get to defend their crown, but what that was like last June.
That was awesome. We were flying We're flying to London to play the London series against the Yankees. And they told us not to sleep on the way over there so we could get acclimated to the time change. So I had no problem in that. You know, watching. Well, I didn't get to watch it. Kind of just watched like the game day on my phone because the internet wasn't strong enough to pull up any video. But just watching how it all went down, got behind early, and everybody was kind of yelling at me, and we came running back. It was that was cool. And just for Coach Corbin and that program, you know, I know how much he's put into it, how much he cares, how much he loves each and every one of his players and his staff, which is what he's done for me. You know, I wish him nothing but the best and continued success for him and that program, and it's something I enjoy watching year in and year out.
That's awesome. By the way, what was that experience like? We watched it here, watching you guys play over in London, but what was that like to actually do that across the pond?
It was different. You know, I think everybody kind of had different opinions on it, but to be in that atmosphere and how they're explaining the game while we're playing it, and they had a bunch of different scoreboards that had different rules and, you know, what a sacrifice fly was and stuff like that, how we were kind of teaching the game at the same time while we were playing. I thought that was neat. Just all the ceremonies were really cool. All in all, it was a good experience. Happy I didn't have to pitch over there because balls were flying off of baseball bats at a very high velocity. So it was different for everybody. I think I'm happy I don't have to do it again this year. It's canceled, but I'm sure a lot of people really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, you're right. It was fun for the fans to watch. Probably not a lot of fun for pitchers to watch. Hey. Thanks for doing this. Yeah, always good to catch up with you. You and the family continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, fellas, I appreciate it.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.